Good. Okay, we're going to be in John 21. Stand when you find that, John chapter 21. Sort of a bittersweet moment because we will be finishing up the Gospel of John today. Last sermon in John. Now, we'll probably end up preaching more sermons out of the Gospel of John, but today marks us finishing this great book. When I got here 2 years ago, we're going to do some forecasting, okay? Because we start Luke next Sunday, God willing. I've been here for 2 years, exactly, and we started in chapter 12. Now, we started in chapter 12 because Brother Hardesty said, hey, when you come and become the pastor, I'm finishing up, you know, chapter 12. I want you to start there if you don't mind. I said, well, I'd be glad to do that. So we started in chapter 12. It took us 2 years to get from chapter 12 to the end. Okay, so we start Luke. I mean, let's do some math. Half the book took 2 years. The whole book of Luke, I don't know. But we're going to have a good time all the way, right? Amen. At least four or five of us think that. Okay. Let's look at verse 24. That just gets us right into this. 24, chapter 21, verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. By the way, John is speaking of himself here. And wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. You know what's interesting? He said, we know. I mean, Some commentators say, well, he's talking about himself. And of course, that's true because we also include you, right? Yeah. But it's not just you. Clearly, there's other people who also would affirm what John is saying here. Well, what is he saying? We know that his testimony is true. In other words, we're not making this up. Amen. This is true. You can trust it. Verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there to see some of the other things he did? Hopefully we'll hear about it when we get to heaven. The which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And I was started studying in this last week, and I thought, Lord, what do you have for us today? And I just sort of had it in my mind. It would just be a real simple message, and we would just talk about the veracity of the Scriptures, that it's trustworthy, and we can trust the Bible, and we're going to talk about that. And, you know, and then we'll just bring some closing things of the Gospel of John and give the Gospel again, and it'll just be real simple. And I think there's some simplicity to the message this morning, but here's what ended up happening, the opposite. So we have some technical things we're going to be talking about this morning, a little different than what we usually do. I'm going to have us here in just a little while turning to some various scripture because I want to show you some things that I think is just going to knock some more hair off of Brother Stussy. Yeah. He asked for it for the choir. Hey, when the choir's singing behind me, I want my hair to come off, you know. So I think it might blow some more hair off with some of the stuff we're going to talk about. So we'll see what happens. Let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. Without you, we can do nothing. We trust that you're working in us, in our presence, and we love you. We're here because of you, and certainly not because of us. Lord, our flesh is so naturally wicked, and we just don't have a desire even for you at all without the work of your Spirit in us. But yet, all the time, you're working in us to purify us and to speak to us and to bring us back to you and to show us your love and your grace like the ladies just sang about. And Lord, we can't rejoice enough about that. So thank you for your goodness. I pray your blessings on the message this morning. Certainly we need you. And we ask that we would honor you with the words that we say from this message. And then, Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement and a touch in somebody's life today. Somebody needs this. Lord, we all need this. But somebody is needing this in a way that maybe they didn't even understand. And so I pray that your Spirit would work in hearts very specifically to touch the needs that are here this morning. And we'll give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So when the boys were small, they would do things that they thought was awesome, right? Sometimes, like I said, I think it was Wednesday night, I said, sometimes mom says, don't do that. And they're like, what are you talking about, mom? You don't know what you're talking. They do it anyway, and then they hurt themselves. And then, of course, they go crying to mom, you know, and she's like, you know, I'll help you. I told you not to do that, you know, and so mom's very gracious. Dad's like, okay, rub some dirt on it and go away, right? But sometimes the kids, they're in the act of doing something and they think it's amazing and they want you to watch. Remember those times? I'm like, Daddy, watch me. You're like, okay, and maybe you have your phone or you're distracted by something else because they're going to jump off a brick, you know? Like, it's like this tall off the ground, and they're like, Daddy, watch me jump off this brick. Okay, congratulations, you know, and that was amazing. Daddy, watch me, I'm going to do it again. Okay, how long are we going to do this, you know? And you just lose that enthusiasm sometimes. And I say shame on us sometimes. You know, we need to give attention to our kids, but it's there. Our kids want us to watch them. Dad, will you watch me? Will you watch me do this? That's how we are with God. Let's be real about this, okay? So there's times when we're in sin and we're in darkness and we don't want God to watch what we're doing. That's why we do it secretly, because we don't want anybody to know, not even God. But there are times, and I would say, yay, most of the time in life, here's what we want. We just want God to notice our life. We want Him to notice us. We want Him to see what we're going through. God, do you see what I'm going through? Do you see where we are? And so because God is invisible, we don't see Him, we by faith trust that He sees us. We by faith trust that He loves us and He cares for us. And by the way, if you're saved this morning, the Spirit of God lives in you. We talked about this in Sunday school. I got fired up in Sunday school. God lives in you, constantly confirming and affirming His love for you. You don't deserve it. He loves you. And He affirms that love in you. And so the Spirit of God is there, but we don't see Him. And so sometimes the devil, you know, he puts his pricks, he throws his darts, his arrows at your heart and at your mind to distract you, to make you feel discouraged, to make you feel unloved, to make you feel that God isn't caring, God doesn't watch you, He doesn't see you, He doesn't see what you're going through. As a matter of fact, God just doesn't even give attention to you at all. The devil wants you to think that. Now you know better, don't you? I mean, you know better. You're here this morning. Likely you've been exposed to the Scripture before, probably the gospel. And many of you are likely saved this morning. I would say there are some that probably are not saved. But you know better. You know enough to know, at least intellectually, that God is watching you. He sees you and He cares about you. But sometimes we don't feel like He cares about us. We go through experiences in life and it makes us sense or ask a question like a toddler would. Like a young child would to his mom and dad. Daddy, will you watch me? Mommy, will you watch me? And we just say, Lord, are you watching me? Are you giving attention? Is your attention there? Now, John, when he writes these last couple of verses, there's confidence. I mean, confidence. He says, we know. Now, when he said in verse 24 here, we know, he's not saying, I think. Do you know there's a big difference between I think and I know? There's a big difference there. You know, how about this? Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Now, don't answer that out loud. Hopefully in your heart you already know the answer, right? But if I was to ask all of us, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? You might say something like this: I think I will. And that's kind of scary ground to walk on, don't you think? Amen. I think God doesn't work in the realm of I think. If you're in the realm of I think right now, then what you need is the Spirit of God to prick your heart and bring conviction and show you where you really are, to reveal to you where you really are with Him, so that you might have the confidence to say, through salvation and through Jesus Christ, who made a way for you, open the door, and making you born again can help you to say these words: I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I don't wonder about it. I'm not anchoring my salvation on my own good deeds, on the spirit of my own heart, but on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's how you can say, I know. So there's confidence there, right? Yes. This is the kind of confidence that John would have had. John had confidence to know that he's standing on firm ground. And by the way, he would need it, and all the apostles would need it, because they suffered for Jesus. They suffered because of where they stood. They experience temptation, persecution, and trials because of their faith in Christ. And so there would be something in them that would anchor them to that truth and cause them to continue to stand and move forward. By the way, the same thing that God does in us. If you're saved this morning, there's something that's in you that anchors you to the truth, that keeps you being faithful. And it's Christ, His Spirit working in you. John would have had that confidence. Take a look at verse 24 with me. It says, this is the disciple, John speaking of himself, which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, speaking of the gospel that he wrote, the book that we just studied. And he said, we know that his testimony is true. And so there's confidence. That's what we were just referencing. Now, John's confidence in the testimony of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John would have been because he was an eyewitness. He was directly associated to the testimony of Jesus. And so when he wrote the scripture, he was writing what he saw with his own eyes. And he's not making these things up. Now I want to show you, this is where what we usually don't do, but I want to show you some scripture, okay? So here's what I would like you to do. Number one, when we turn to scripture, keep something here in John, okay? Because we're going to come back to it. This is the book we're studying. This is the passage we're studying, number one. Number two, let's do this together, okay? Because we don't do this very often, there might be a temptation for you to say, well, I'm just gonna sit on the bench for this one. No. Let's all get in the game, okay? Let's turn to the scripture. You're like, well, I'm not good at finding the scripture. We'll wait for you. It's okay. Ask the guy. Look at the beginning. It has it all numbered. It's just like awesome. So I don't know what page it is for you, but you know, the first one, it says where all the books are. Okay, so let's go to 1 John. It's close to the back. It's before Revelation. If you got to Revelation, you went too far. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. You're there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. There's still pages wiggling, but I never can tell if that's somebody messing with me. I'm like, oh, I'll wait for the pages to stop, but some teenager's in the back going like this. Just, you know, making his pages make sense. Anyway, verse number one. This, by the way, is the same earthly writer as the gospel we're studying, John. This is his epistle to the church, to God's people. Here's what he said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Do you know what John just said there? He said, everything that I am testifying to you, these are things that I heard with my own ears and I saw with my own eyes. He said the word of life. Did you notice that word there is capitalized W? It's because it's a reference to a name. And that name is Jesus. We're going to look at that here in just a moment too. But he's talking about Jesus. Here's what he's saying about Jesus. I heard him speak with my own ears. I saw his life with my own eyes. So the things that I'm saying, I'm not making these things up. I saw these things happen. I heard these truths with my own ears. Look at verse 2. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Look at verse 3, the first part. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. As an eyewitness, John says, I was there, I saw it, and I'm telling you just how I saw it and just how it was said to me. Okay, go just a few pages forward and we'll look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's actually one page. Forward is relative, right? We're talking about close to the front of the Bible, not towards the back of the Bible. I knew what I was talking about, okay? Backwards. You know what I meant. 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, so this morning in Sunday school, I never do this, but I'm taking a little sidetrack here. We started Sunday school because I'm teaching through 1 Peter, right? And I read for like 5 verses in 2 Peter before I realized I'm not teaching out of this book. You know, it took me a long time. I'm like, this is not my lesson. You know, I'm not with it today. All right, look at verse 16, 2 Peter. For we have not followed, this is Peter talking, an apostle of Jesus. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. You know what a fable is? It's like a fairy tale, a story that somebody made up. Here's what Peter's saying. We as the apostles of God, and by the way, that applies to you and me, right? We're not following cunningly devised fables, stories that, men with earthly wisdom and knowledge and intellect made these stories up and cross over and have the divine unity that they clearly have. It wasn't men of renown that did this. No. We're not following cunningly devised fables. Look what he said next. when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were, say that next word, eyewitnesses of his majesty. Go back to John with me, John chapter 21. Here's what John in his epistle said. The life was manifested and we have seen it. We saw Jesus. Peter said it this way. We're not making these stories up. I walked with Jesus. I saw him. I was there when he said, roll the stone away. And then he uttered these words, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who was wrapped up in grave clothes and had been dead for 4 days, walked out of the tomb. Peter said, I was there. I saw it happen. I'm an eyewitness. And so we can have confidence that when we study the Bible, we're not studying the words of men, but we're studying the words of an almighty God who's revealing himself to you and me. Amen. And the power of God you and I can't comprehend. I'm going to say that again. The power and the might of God you and I cannot possibly comprehend. But yet he communicates to us. Yet he loves us. Yeah, how about this? That he took it all the way to the line where he would say, not only do I love you, not only that I have compassion with you and create you so that I can have relationship with you, that you would go away from me, that you would depart from me and you would love other gods. You would sin against me. You would deny me. And I love you so much that I would bring you back to myself through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot make a way for yourself to be redeemed and brought back to the Father, but Jesus made a way for you. That's how powerful our Almighty God is and how loving he is, that he created all that exists and we departed from him and he loved us enough to open a door through Jesus to bring us back to the Father. Amazing. Is that true, Pastor? Is that true? You can rest assured. Okay, all right. You can rest assured. You guys aren't excited enough, so I'm just going to be excited for all of us. Amen. You can rest assured. What's that mean? I got chills. Here's what that means. That means you don't have to rest in your assurance. You can rest in his assurance. You can rest knowing that he made a way for you. And you don't have to be convinced because it's true. Did you know you don't have to prove something to be true for it to be true? That's amazing, isn't it? Like, I don't need to prove to you that it's true, but I can. Just look around you. How about this? That we exist. That we exist at all and that we can breathe air and there's life in this world. It demands that there must be a God. Amen. But yet even more true than that, that he's revealed himself to us. And the power and the work of the Word of God, so that when the Word of God is preached and the man of God is delivering the message of God and he says stuff like this, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, there's something in you that says, that's true. Right. Yep. And Jesus died for me. And I needed him to die for me. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. And yes, you are a sinner. And if you try to act like you're not a sinner, you've deceived yourself, 1 John says.
That's right.
You have deceived yourself to say that you don't need Jesus. And you can make your own way to the cross or own way to the through the door into heaven, because it's not true. That part isn't true. But what is true is the work of God through the message of the gospel, as the Holy Spirit works in you to say this is true. And you need to be saved. And so I don't need to convince you. I just need to preach the word. I'm going to say that again. I don't need to convince you. I just need to preach the word, because the Holy Spirit convinces you. He speaks to you. He says this is true and you need this and you know that's true. And so we can have confidence. John had confidence. He walked with Jesus and he saw the miracles. He saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. All of the apostles as eyewitnesses saw the miraculous work in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You and I weren't there. We didn't see it. But can we rest in that same confidence? Oh, yes, we can, because the Holy Spirit says this is true. Ooh, this is true. And you can trust it and you can believe it. How much can I trust it? You can trust it with your eternity, not just your life. You can trust it for all the rest of your life. That means, did you know you can anchor yourself to Jesus and you did a good thing? I mean, you did better than a good thing. Did you know that you can commit yourself to the work of God in the ministry of Western Hills Baptist Church if God would so lead you to do that? And you did something very wise, because you're anchoring yourself to something that's not just for a lifetime, but for all of eternity. The ministry of God and the work of God, he wants to work in you that way. That's how much confidence you can have, that you can stop fighting against God. This is not in my notes at all. All of this is free, okay? You can stop fighting with him. You can be so confident that you can just leave your life behind and give your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you did the best thing that you could ever do, giving your life to Christ. To say, I want to serve him. I want to know him. I want to love him. And I want to commit myself to Him. And you can do that this morning. As a matter of fact, that's what this is all about. That's the message of the gospel. When Jesus says, won't you come into a relationship with me? That's why I died on the cross, so that you could be reconciled to God through Jesus. You can be saved this morning. You can know that you're redeemed and that heaven is your home. You don't have to doubt. This world lives in doubt. But you don't have to. That was good. That was fun. Let's look at verse number 25. We're not even halfway done. Woo! 25. Let's go. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. Good night. How many things? Well, I'm glad you asked. I mean, it's so many things. Jesus did so many things that if the whole earth was filled with books to write of the works and the deeds of Jesus, the earth doesn't have enough capacity. There's not enough room for the books that could be written to say what Jesus did. That's amazing to me. That feels like hyperbole, doesn't it? Like exaggeration. Feels like it. We would wonder, is that really true? Is John really saying something that's true there? Could the whole earth be filled with books, writing, and there still wouldn't be enough room? Is that really true? Let me encourage you about something. It's not hyperbole. I mean, this is actually absolutely true. If the deeds of Jesus was written... I'm getting fired up again. If the deeds of Jesus... I have to bring something with me, though, because I actually have notes on this one. I don't usually have notes, but I don't want to mess this one up. So it's not hyperbole. Here's the reality of it. Jesus is God. Okay? He's God. That means He wasn't created. He's eternal. He is always existed. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is the creator. Jesus created all that you see. Jesus created it. Okay? Now I want to prove that to you. So we're in John. You can leave your marker there if you'd like and go back to chapter number 1. And look at this with me. Chapter 1. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1. I have it right here written out. So let's look at it together. Chapter 1, verse 1. We're in the same book, John. You there? Say amen. Amen. Here's what John said. He said, in the beginning, what beginning? The beginning, like everything, creation. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, it's a capital W. We know who that is, don't we? That's Jesus. Okay, He was there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. How do you know it's Jesus? Look at verse 14. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelled among us. That was Jesus. He came to this earth. We celebrate Christmas. That's what it's talking about. Jesus came to this earth. We know why He came, to die for the sins of mankind. But the reality is that Jesus is the Word, and He was there in the beginning. What did He do? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Look at verse 3. Same chapter. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So you look around, and here's what you'll see. A creation. And you're in that creation because you were created too. And all that was made. You know who did that? It was Jesus who did that. He's the creator. He is, in the beginning, God, Elohim. That's Jesus who created the heaven and the earth. He created it all. He created you, and He created the universe and the stars and everything you see. And by the way, everything you don't see. All at the bottom of the sea. There's stuff at the bottom of the sea we still don't even know about. God created that too. Amen. He created everything. He is the creator. Look at Colossians with me. You can lose your place in John there and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. I can't help you with that one. It's in the middle of the New Testament. I don't know what page it is. Colossians chapter 1. Are you there? Okay. Oh, Carlos is there. Let's go. Are you there? Okay. Nope. We'll wait for you. It's okay. Colossians. I want you to see this. This is a hallelujah. This is a hanky thing. You know what I mean? I don't have a hanky, but if I had one, I might be swinging it around. Colossians 1, verse 16. Say amen. Amen. All right, let's go. Here's what it says. For by Him, do you know the Him is? You know who Him is? That's Jesus. For by Him, that's Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible. That means the things you see and the things you don't see, by the way. whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. These are governments. These are established spiritual realm. All things were created by him and for him. So you know who created everything? It was Jesus. I just want you to understand that. Jesus created everything. Do you know what that also means? Watch this. This is where it gets exciting for me. It also means that Jesus created everything about you, who you are. Not just spiritually, but like in your anatomy too. Did you know that when Charles Darwin wrote Origin of Species, he talked about natural selection, which by the way is real science, but as a means to evolution, it isn't science. So there was a disruption there, but you know what Charles Darwin did not know? He didn't know what was on the inside of a human cell, because microscopes did not exist that could see small enough to dissect a human cell when he wrote that book. In 1953, a microscope was created that was able to see small enough to dissect a human cell. And when they opened up a human cell, you know what they found inside? Chromosomes, DNA, which we didn't know existed until then. DNA. Do you know what DNA is? DNA is complex. It's a complex coding system. Basically what it is, it's like language. Language that is written and is written in our biology that makes us who we are. It makes us, in our genetics, it makes us look like what we look like. It's why our hair is the color it is, or we don't have any. The eyes the color they are, or you know, the skin color the way that is, and all about who we are in our anatomy. It's our DNA. It's written, watch, it's written in the code of our DNA. As a matter of fact, they call it, watch this, a complex coding system. Do you know what code is? Code is language. That's what it is. Code is language. Like the Bible that you're holding in your hand, it's written in English. That's code. And it's blessing for us, for most of us anyway, because we can read English. If it was in Chinese, we would be in trouble, or at least I would be. I cannot read Chinese. And so you can read Carlos can read Chinese. Oh, you have to. That's right. He raised his hand. He already told me they had to go. So anyway, let's give attention right here. So we have a complex coding system. It's language, the English language. And we understand that. But Chinese, we don't. If it was in Chinese, we'd be in trouble, right? So here's the point. DNA, this is what I want to read to you. I didn't want to mess this part up. One writer said this. At the moment of conception, catch this, a fertilized human egg is about the size of a pinhead. Very small. Yet it contains DNA information equivalent to 6 billion chemical letters. This is enough information. Now, this is where you're going to get some chills. Goosebumps are going to happen. Like your hair is going to stick up. You ready? This is enough information just in that little pinhead. I didn't mean it that way, but you know, the embryo. Let's say it that way. The fertilized human egg. The information to fill 1,000 books, 500 pages thick, with print so small you would need a microscope to read it. Just in a fertilized egg. He goes on, all the DNA chemical letters in a full-grown human body, that is you and me, if they were printed in books, just written in the code of your DNA, if it was in book form, 500-page books with print so small you'd need a microscope to read it. It would fill the Grand Canyon with books 50 times. Wow. That's just one human. One human. So is it feasible to say that all of the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his fingerprint in this world was created, rather if books were written, to say what Jesus has, the deeds that Jesus has done, that the world could not contain the books? It's not a stretch. The power of an almighty God. Amen. By the way, the God, the almighty God who loves you and gave himself for you. So when we consider the magnanimous God who created all that exists, and he created us, and he loved us enough to speak to us and draw him to himself, and he guides us to his path, that we would think that a God who loves us and have such power and strength and might in our life doesn't love us enough to give attention to us, to see us, to see what we're going through, to see the trial and the struggle that we have in life. Do you know what happens with people at times? People at times get discouraged about their life And they wonder if God even knows about them.
Yeah.
And they wonder if God even cares about them.
Right.
And there are people that allow, watch this, the sinfulness of this world and the evil that is around us and the trials that we experience in life to wonder if God is even there at all.
Amen.
Is He there? God, are you even there? And people lift their hands that way. And sometimes because of the trials, people lift their fist at God and say, why are you allowing me to go through this? I don't even want to acknowledge that you're there. But yet, in the heart of man, we know that He's there.
Amen.
Why? How do we know? Just look at what He made. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this. The invisible things of Him, that's God Himself, are clearly seen. How are they seen? Being understood by the things that are made. You look at creation and here's what you say. How about this? The solar system. Did you know that the earth rotates on an axis? And it's literally floating on nothing. That's amazing to me. And it's in orbit around the sun. And it's so precise that we can tell time to the split second. So that we're all here. Well, some of us were a little bit late. But we're all here at 10 o'clock for church. How are we able to do that? Because of the organization and the structure of the creation that we live in that points to the fact, the reality of this, that there must be a God.
Amen.
There must be. And you study DNA, and the more you dig into DNA, the more you understand about this complex coding system. We must ask this question. If our lives are a book, then who wrote the book? There must be a God. And everything we see in nature points to this great truth. There must be a God. He must be there. Does He care for you? Yes, He loves you. As a matter of fact, He loves you so much He made a way for you to be redeemed, to be saved. And He calls you to Himself. You can turn your heart to Him. You can be saved. The greatness of God is beyond our human comprehension. Like we can't truly understand. And when we're going through a trial, the question comes to our mind, or you know, it hits our heart. Does God really care? Does He give attention to me? And the answer to that is yes. He does watch you. He cares for you. So here's what He wants you to do. Here's where all this lands for us this morning. Okay, that God is there. His greatness is incomprehensible. His love has been demonstrated in Jesus, and it's confirmed in you through the work of the Holy Ghost. So all of these things work together to convince you, like John, that this is true. And it's amazing. And all the time, here's what He's saying. Listen, I love you and I want you to come into a relationship with Me. That's what Jesus is saying. I love you and I want you to turn yourself to Me. Listen, I know what you're going through right now. And I know, like we said in Sunday school, I know what the other side of that trial is going to look like. And I want to bring you through this and make you stronger because of it. But when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel that way. When you're in the middle of a struggle, you're like the toddler who wants to know if mom and dad is looking at you and giving attention to you. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, He not only cares about His creation, He cares about you, and He loves you, and He is watching you, and He speaks to you, and He draws you to Himself, and it's personal. That's how His love is. So that He didn't create you and leave you to yourself.
Right.
He wants you to come to Him.
Amen.
You're not here by accident this morning.
Amen.
You're here, and you're hearing the gospel, and the Holy Spirit has a message for you. He's calling you to Himself, to trust Him. He said, but I don't see Him. But you see Him all around you and the work of Him in you. So that you can say, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but here's what I can know. I can know that I can trust God.
Praise the Lord.
There's a lot of things I don't understand, but here's one thing I know. I know I can trust God. I know I can stop fighting against Him. I know I can stop doing it my way, and I can trust Him and do it His way, and that He's going to carry me through, and He's going to bring me to salvation. He's going to bring me to the hope that I need in my soul. God can do that. He wants to do that in you.
Right.
Let me tell you this, and then we'll be done. When the boys were little, small, like toddler or younger, we would put them in the car seat. And we would strap them in, you know, the 5-point, you know, all the little snaps in there. And, of course, there's Cheerios and all kinds of snacks and stuff buried in the thing, you know. But they're snapped into their car seat, in the seat, sometimes right behind mom if she's driving, or on the other side if you're in the van and wherever it is, but it's in the seat behind the driver's seat. Did you know that that child, when they get snapped into that seat, they don't know where mom and dad's going? They're just in there, snapped in. And mom might say, hey, we're going to go to the park. Yay. But they don't know anything else about that journey. You know what they're doing? They're playing. They're either eating a snack or they're playing with a toy. And they're enjoying the ride. And wherever, and usually they don't know where mom's taking them, but they're just enjoying the ride. Where are we going? I don't know. Mom knows. Do you know they trust mom enough to know, watch this, to know that mom knows where we're going. That's enough for them. Did you know that God knows what you're going through and where you are in life? He knows. He wants to lead you. And what he wants you to do is to trust him. And he'll take you where he wants you to be. Do you know what you need to do? You need to stop demanding that he shows you. I'll believe you when you show me. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, look around you. God's working all around you. He's proven himself to you as your creator, and that he can be trusted. It's affirmed in you through the work of the Holy Spirit. You have no excuse. So what do? We stop fighting against him and say, Lord, I know that I can trust you. I know that you're trustworthy, and I'm going to allow you to lead me even though I don't know much about where we're going. Amen. I trust you for the journey because I know you're going to get me right where I need to be. And that's where we need to be this morning. When we finish up this great gospel of John, I think what a great way to finish than to say, if you need to be saved this morning, what you need to do is to trust him, that he knows. He knows where you are, and he knows where he wants to take you, and you can give your life to him. You can be saved this morning. And if you've been kicking against the Lord, you're saved already, but you've been kicking against God, you've been trying to do it your way, and that's not going to get you anywhere with the blessings of the hand of God. It'll just bring more trials and judgment in your life. And we can stop fighting against him this morning and trust him. Let me encourage you to take that step. If you need to be saved, let me encourage you to take that step this morning.